Good morning to everyone. We certainly have a good crowd out this beautiful Lord's Day morning. Appreciate you being out. We appreciate the beautiful sunshine out there. And by the calendar, it's the first day of spring, so we have arrived at spring, and it gives us a lot of excitement and a lot of enjoyment to look forward to the warm days that are ahead. Appreciate the rain and all those things as well, but that sunshine sure seems to lift us up. We have some visitors with us. We appreciate your presence and invite you back on every occasion that you have. We want you to know that God loves you. We love you. God wants nothing but what is best for you, and we want nothing what is best for you. It is our goal here to try to lead others to Christ, to try to encourage each other as we go down this walk of life as Christians together, so that we might eventually spend eternity together in the after a while. And we know that this life is fleeting. To give a good example of that, my friend Danny Lester delivered a few calves over to the Lake Cumberland Livestock Market yesterday morning. About 7:30, he left, and with intentions of coming back to watch his calves sell, took his truck and trailer. He only lives about 2 miles from the yards there, and we got word about 10 o'clock that he had gotten out of his truck, had a massive heart attack, and departed this life. I have spent a lot of time talking to Danny and just enjoyed his company. He'll certainly be another friend that'll be sorely missed, but it is a grim reminder to all of us of the uncertainty of this life, because Danny's plans was to take his truck and trailer back home and wait a little while, knowing that it's going to be a while before his calves would sell, and he didn't come back. His intentions were to come back, but the Lord had other plans, and that just shows us the brevity, the uncertainty of this life. We can be here 1 minute and gone the next. So again, pray for Danny's family. He has some young grandchildren that just adored him, and I know they're heartbroken this morning. I appreciate the prayers on the behalf of the Tingle family as well, as that is a sad situation for someone so young, had such a promising future ahead of him, but because of the disease of cancer, he departed this life at a young age of 33 with a 6-year-old child and a 4-year-old child, and now leaves them behind, and they were so very, very close. On a happier note, we had a young man that got baptized there. Most of you all know that already, but I wanted to put that up there. I appreciate Jeremy taking that picture the other night, and I wanted to share that with everyone, because in times like that we're in, with the COVID that we're trying to move out of, with the things that's going on in Ukraine, with all the problems of the world, it is refreshing to have some good news, some exciting news, some uplifting news, and it is also refreshing to see the power of the gospel at work. And it just reiterates what we're trying to do here, and it builds us all up, I think, and we're all encouraged. We had a short study there Monday evening, and Isaac made the decision that he wanted to obey the gospel, and we're just so thankful for that. I'd like to go on to say that I'm thankful for Savannah, I'm thankful for Charlene, I'm thankful for Jeremy and Melissa and Jennifer and Daryl, who have had tremendous impact on Isaac's life. And they have been an example that has really helped him to come to the knowledge and understanding, and I picked up on that in our discussion. As many others here in this congregation have been a positive influence and example for him to help him to make that decision. And last week we talked about good works and the importance of those good works. There it is, because people are watching, they see, they listen to how we talk, to the things that we say, and the things that we teach in Bible classes, and then results happen. We don't never need to become faint-hearted or weary-hearted, thinking that the things that we're doing, the works that we're doing, are going unnoticed. And again, that family is to be commended, because they have had a tremendous impact on Isaac's life. I'm so happy for them. I'm so happy that they're going to go into marriage. Both of them are Christians, and both of them are on the same page, and they're going to walk down through life together as a man and woman, as Christians. And I'm just so thankful for that, as many others are as well. And it is something to be excited about, and it's something to be happy about. As I thought about a lesson topic this morning, There used to be an insurance company, Allstate, that had a logo that looked like this. It says, "You're in good hands." And that was their slogan, "You're in good hands with Allstate." And what that indicated was, is it gave you some security when you had Allstate insurance, nothing against Farm Bureau, Pat, when you had Allstate insurance, that you had security because you knew if you had a loss in the way of a fire or something, an automobile accident or whatever, that they were going to take care of you. And we like that, don't we? When we consider buying insurance, the reason that we do that is so that we can have the security of knowing that if something goes wrong and we have a catastrophic loss of whatever the nature might be, that you're in good hands, meaning that those hands that you're in are going to take care of you and they're going to provide for you what you need. Well, I wanted to think about that in the times that we're in this old world, and as bad as things are, I wanted us to think about as Christians how that we are God's people and we are in God's hands. And those are good hands, obviously. He teaches us that all through His Word, that it's good to be in the hands of God, doesn't He? It feels good, doesn't it? It makes us feel secure about our future. It makes us feel secure about what's going to happen when we depart this life. We're in good hands if we're in God's hands. And again, I would like for you to think about that as we go through this lesson this morning, about being in God's hands. And if you're here and you've never accepted the gospel, you've never obeyed the gospel, and you've never let the Lord take control of your life and of your heart, then I would like for you to give consideration to that. Maybe you would like to be in good hands. Maybe you would like to have God to be looking out for you and taking care of you. Now, this picture that I'm about to share with you come in late, and I believe Kim came up with this picture, maybe Andy, but they were at the state ball tournament up at Rupp Arena there yesterday, and that this incident happened. And this little Sims guy that played for Lincoln County here, he was down, and this boy, rather than running and celebrating the win, he stopped to pick that boy up to help him up. You can see the frustration on the young man's face because they had lost the game and they'd made it a long ways and they'd done extremely well. But as I seen this picture, I had to incorporate it into the lesson because we've talked about Christianity, we've talked about things that God would have us to do, and that boy picking him up, and if you notice there, it's taken some strength. See that arm, how it's flexed there? See that leg there, how it's flexed? It's taken some strength for him to pick him up. And I'm sure this fella needs somebody to pick him up because he got knocked down or he fell down and he had lost the game. Not only was he down physically on the floor, but he was down mentally. We all been there, haven't we? We'll all be there again, won't we? We may be down physically, but we'll certainly be down mentally. And sometimes we can just be downtrodden. We can be disheartened. And when somebody comes along and they show some compassion, and again, I just could not keep from incorporating this into the lesson because this is what we're talking about when we talk about Christianity. In a few years down the road, it may be forgotten who won the state tournament or who won the semifinals of the Sweet 16, but that won't be forgotten. It won't be forgotten by God. It won't be forgotten by those that were there to witness it, will it? Remember that. We've got a lot of athletes here in our congregation. Also show that kind of care and compassion and Christianity and sportsmanship. That's a good thing about playing sports. You learn a lot about these things. And you can incorporate Christianity right into that and say, you know, I'm going to be a good sport here. I'm not going to run by this boy and celebrate our victory with my friends and my teammates. I'm going to stop and show this little fellow who's down some compassion. Isn't that good? Isn't it good that somebody caught that picture to show and to share with us? You know, we're too much programmed in this old world to think about, well, it's a root hog or die situation, and we've won, and if I have to, I'm going to step on that boy to go over and celebrate with my teammates. No. There's a difference in that young man that stopped to help that other fellow up when he was down. Will that be you and I when we encounter people that may be down, not athletically? I doubt if I'm going to be playing much more basketball. And I know there's a lot more in here that are not either. But I'm saying there's opportunities for us to stop and to give somebody a hand. Doesn't that break down walls of racism when you see acts like that? It's great stuff. And I tell you, if you're just watching and you're observant, which I know Kim and Andy are because I've seen a lot of the pictures that they've caught or that they've recognized on Facebook and brought it to everyone's attention to kind of show these things. And I think we can just learn so much if we just watch and observe. But again, I wanted to share that with you. And it kind of goes with our lessons. And when you're thinking about it, took that guy's hands of taking hold of that boy and making an effort to get him up off of the floor when he was down. It takes our hands with God working through us to do similar works, doesn't it? Just keep that in mind as we go through this lesson, and I think it'll benefit you. And I told Brenda, I said, they may not remember anything that I say this morning, but a picture paints a thousand words, and they'll remember that. I'm putting that in there. So, but God's different types of hands are illustrated throughout the Bible. His helping hands, His strong hands, His fearful hands, His saving hands. And you know, God's hand is always there for us, isn't it? No matter how low that we become, no matter how much we become discouraged, downtrodden, His hand is always there for us. And that's something that should offer us a lot of security. How many friends have you got that you could call any time of the night or any time of the day in any circumstances and they would come to you? Most of those are blessed and we have a lot of those. But when you think about what God can provide in those times of need, when you think about what God has already provided for us and how much He has helped us in the struggles that we go through in this life, it's amazing, isn't it? When you think about how much His hand helps you and how strong that His hand is and how it is to be in His hand and how it is to recognize the reverence and the respect you need to have for His hand. In other words, if you don't have reverence and respect for that, you will probably have a fear of what's coming and you will probably recognize that. It's kind of like when I was a child, I would get in trouble. My dad worked out of town, only came home on the weekends. And my mother would be a little bit less of a disciplinary than my dad would be. And she'd say, "You just wait till your dad gets home this weekend." Well, the dreading, if it was on Monday and I had till Friday to dread that, was really bad. Because I knew it wasn't going to be pretty. And I knew she wasn't going to forget it. And I knew that I was going to have to face the consequences of my actions. Well, that's all the more true with our Heavenly Father. So we need to have that fear and respect, and we need to do it in a way that we want to act upon that. And then we're going to look at His saving hands this morning just for a few minutes. To the Hebrew and the Greek, the word hand also had many varying metaphorical meanings and was used to represent a number of concepts. For instance, there were several common phrases in which the hands were used as a symbol of power. One is found in Psalms 31 verse 15. It says, "My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me." You know, it's just one example that acknowledges that time and our time is in God's hands. Do we recognize that and know that? You know, we all have an appointed day that we're going to depart this life, don't we? Mark 14:41, "It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." We talked about that a little bit this morning in our Bible class. "It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." What's in a hand? You can look at somebody's hand oftentimes and tell what kind of work they do because they may have nicks and cuts and bruises and that sort of thing. I remember a fellow shut Brenda's dad's hand one time that visited a church when he was having a gospel meeting, and he looked at me and while he had a hold of Tommy's hand, and he said, "His hand feels like a foot." That wasn't an insult. That was because that hand had done a lot of hard work a lot of hard work, and it had made his hand very, very strong and very tough. And that guy recognized that because he was paying attention to the situation, and that also stood out in my mind. You know, you can tell a lot about a person's hands, can't you? We need to be reminded of the power that God has within His hands. And whenever we become a Christian, we're in good hands. I'm going to keep emphasizing that. It's good to be in good hands. The evening that Mandy, our daughter, was in the bad automobile accident, and it was a very dry, dreary time as we were going down to Lake Cumberland Hospital, and they couldn't fly a helicopter out of UK because it was so foggy they couldn't dispatch one, or that's where she would have went. But I believe by the providence of God, she didn't go there, and she wound up down at Lake Cumberland Regional Medical Center, where Dr. Elnagar practices, and he's one of the best neurosurgeons in the United States. He's in the top five in the United States and is ranked really high in the world. And he was her doctor. He was on call that Saturday night, and whenever we went into the room and saw her, things was looking pretty bad. And he was in there with her, and they were getting ready to go into surgery. And he told me and Brenda, he said, "I've got a daughter about the same age of your daughter." And he said, "She looks a lot like your daughter. And what I'm going to tell you is I'm going to treat your daughter just like she was my daughter." Those were words of comfort that indicated to us that our daughter was in good hands. And I think you could relate to that, couldn't you? There's nothing else he could say that would have explained to us how the situation was going to be handled. And as we left that room and went out to the waiting room for about 5 hours, we knew that she was in good hands with that fellow. Now bring that over to being in the hands of God, being in His hands. And when you see me get a little emotional about that occasion and thinking about that occasion, think about what it is when God says that you're in good hands if you're a child of mine, and think about how emotional you should feel about that. And think about how you should be lifted up and encouraged about that in times maybe when it would be hard for you to find encouragement, be hard for you to be lifted up. Just think about that as we look at some of these examples. God's hands are helping hands. Isaiah 41:10 and verse 13 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Verse 13, "For I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." Man, that's powerful stuff. That's a lot more powerful than what Dr. Elnagar told me down there that night. If we'll just take it and accept it as being that way. And Isaiah the prophet said that that's the way God views it. That's the way He looks at it. He's going to uphold us with His hand of righteousness. When all the world don't care about what righteousness is, what it looks like, when everybody that we encounter seems to be thinking that you don't have to listen to God, you can just do whatever you want to. If it feels good, do it. Don't worry about it. Enjoy it. Live for the minute. And God says, "I'm going to uphold you with my hand of righteousness." Sometimes we can be overcome and overwhelmed by what's going on around us in the world, can't we? We can have that feeling of distress and being distraught like the young man that was on the floor that was getting some help to get up. We can feel that way from a spiritual standpoint. And we need that right hand of God. We need to be lifted up by His righteousness. We need to be reminded that there is righteousness, and there's a difference between righteousness and that which is unrighteous, good, and that which is evil, don't we? And He says in verse 13, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." That's powerful. That's powerful if we'll just grasp it, if we'll just think about it, and think about the power of the hand that is with us, that we're in His hands as His people, as His children, that we're in those hands, the strength that's within those hands, the ability to overcome and accomplish in those hands. It's amazing. It's amazing. He helps us through our life's trials. We're going to have them, aren't we? We've already discussed that many times. We all know that. There's going to be a lot of things that we're confronted with in this life that are hard for us to deal with. That's part of being in this life. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. We can approach the throne of God, and he says, boldly, I think that is with anticipation of that prayer being answered. We can have confidence as we approach that throne of God that those things that we are praying for can, if it's God's will, be answered. That was brought out this morning in the Bible study. Sometimes the things that we pray for, they're not God's will, and they're not going to happen. We have to accept it that God knows best. I think Corey brought that out real good this morning. We have to accept that that wasn't God's will. Although it was our will, it wasn't God's will, and God knows best. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Do you truly believe that this morning? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Man, that's powerful. Have you ever had friends that you thought would never leave you or forsake you, or people that you thought you could depend on that did leave you and forsake you? Most of us have, haven't we? We know how that feels. We feel deserted. We feel let down. We feel like we, all this time that we knew that person and all that confidence that we had built up in them was just all washed out. But with God, that's not going to happen. Psalms 46:1, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Again, we all have troubles in this life. We all have things that we have to deal with. Psalms 145:18, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. You're in good hands, folks, if you're in God's hands, if you're doing God's will, if you've accepted that plan of salvation that he's provided. Psalms 37:23-24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Verse 24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Just envision when you're down and the Lord reaches down to pick you up. That's powerful. That's strong. That's something that we should take great delight in, that we know that we're in the hands of God. And when we get concerned, overwhelmed, consumed with all that's going on in the world around us, we're in good hands. We're in God's hands. We're in his will. And he knows. The Bible tells us that there's not a hair that falls from our head that he don't know about. Now that's amazing, isn't it? He knows. He knows where you're at. He knows what you're wrestling with. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows all those things, and we're in his hands as his people. So when I get consumed with things like that's going on over in the Ukraine, I have to go back and say, God, you're in control. You're still on your throne. I got up this morning and looked out and seen the sunrise, and it reminded me that you are still on your throne, and I am in your hands, and if you be for me, who can be against me? Carry on. March on, and that's what we have to do as his people. His hands are strong hands. Psalms 89:13, thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand and high is thy right hand. Strong enough to save no matter how sinful you may be. Talked about that a little bit this morning in Bible class too, didn't we? The trouble with a lot of people is they think that their sins are so bad that they can't get forgiveness of them. And when you talk to them about getting forgiveness of their sins and accepting God's plan of salvation, oh, you don't know how much waters went under the bridge, and you don't know how many bad things that I've done. In other words, I don't believe that God can forgive me. The Bible says that he can. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost part that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. We're talking about Jesus Christ here, aren't we? If you accept what Jesus Christ provided, he says he can save to the uttermost part. Don't matter what you've done, no matter how bad it is, no matter how wicked it is, You can get salvation. You can have salvation. Don't doubt. Don't question. Don't wonder if God's strong hand can save you, because the Bible says that it can and it will, if you're willing to submit your will to His will and accept His simple plan of salvation. The devil would have to believe nothing. Evil. You just need to stay over here on my team. You need to stay on my side. You don't need to try to walk that Christian walk. You don't need to put your confidence in Almighty God. You need to put your confidence in me, and I'm going to keep you pulled down in the muck and mire, because that's where I like to see people at. Have belief in the strength of God's hand. And strong enough to conquer your greatest temptation. Psalms 98:1 says, O sing unto the Lord a new song, his right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. Remember that guy's arm a while ago that was lifting that boy up? He was using, exercising that strength, wasn't he? Here he says, his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. There is no sin that you cannot conquer in God's power. He can give you the strength to be an overcomer. We have to believe that, folks, each and every day of our life, because we're challenged, we're tempted, we're in the world, and the world is full of sin and iniquity and things that don't pertain to godliness, and we got to go out into that world, be surrounded by those things, and we have to accept the strength that God has to deliver us from those things and make us to be overcomers of this world, the wickedness, the sinfulness that is all in it. We have to believe in that. We have to believe in the strength of His hands. God's hands are fearful hands. Hebrews 10:30-31, probably one of the most controversial verses that I've ever heard discussed. For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. Verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Been a lot of question about what that means. I've heard a lot of discussion on that. So you mean that it's scary when I... got that kind of fear. It is a fear of reverence and respect that you now know that you're under the judgment of God. And I think that comes when we reach the age of accountability and someone teaches us and shows us God's ways versus the world's ways or sin. And we say, oh, now I understand. Now I see there is a difference between right and wrong. There is a difference between that which is just and that which is unjust. There is a difference between what is acceptable unto God and that which is not acceptable unto God. And now, because I know that there's a difference between that which is right and wrong. Everybody comes to that point in their life, don't they? That they have to accept that. God is a God of mercy and forgiveness, but if we do not come to God on His terms, or if we reject His love and mercy by refusing or neglecting His free gift of salvation, we have the solemn warning of the Word of God of His everlasting judgment. We can count on God's grace and pardon if we come to Him for salvation. You know, if we're entertaining becoming a Christian and we don't do that, but we understand what awaits us in eternity if we don't make that right with God, that is a fearful thing. Should be. That should be something that torments us and bothers us. But if you don't do that, the torment that you're dealing with in this life is not to be compared with the torment that's going to be in the life hereafter. But if we do not, we're reminded in the Scriptures that it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Do you fear God this morning? Do you understand that you need to have reverence and respect for Him? He's got a lot of power in His hands. He spoke the universe into existence, folks. He decided how much of the earth would be covered with water and how much of it would be dry land. He made that decision. He spoke you and I into existence. He made the decision to create man likened unto His own image. He made the decision to do that. He is our Creator. He is the reason that we're here. He's a powerful God. There's a lot of strength in His hands. there's reason to recognize and have reverence for those things which He reveals unto us in His written Word. Revelation's rather a lengthy reading, but I'm going to read it. I'm going to turn here on my page. Might be able to see that better. It says, "And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in those books, according to their works." Remember, we talked about works last week. Are they important? Are they significant? I believe in this day, everyone will think that they were. "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according again to what? Their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This was the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." First death is physical death. The second death is when you know you're going to spend eternity in the hot heat of the devil's hell. You know, we need to accept the strength that is within God's hands, knowing that we're going to stand before Him in that judgment day, and we're going to spend eternity in one of two places. That's reason for us to stand up and take notice, isn't it? That's a reason for us to recognize what God has provided. And as we bring this lesson to a close, God's hands are saving hands. He has the ability to save us. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear." Verse 2 tells us clearly why God's hands are fearful hands, while verse 1 teaches us the power of God's hands to save rather than the punishment. There's going to be punishment for our iniquities if we don't take care of them, aren't they? If we're not willing to repent of the things that we know we need to repent of. If our heart's not able to be pricked to the point that we want to do something about our soul's salvation and our soul's eternal destiny. If that happens, well, we've got all the reason in the world to fear God, don't we? The Bible teaches over and over again that what separates us from God is our sin. God is holy, and He's also infinite in everything that He is, which means He is infinitely holy or perfect, and His perfection is so infinite that He cannot allow sin in His presence. God is light, and in Him is no darkness. People that think that they can be living in sin and that they're in God's hands, this scripture disputes that. We have to decide which side of that fence we're going to walk on, don't we? We have to make up our minds. We had a birthday dinner for Brenda's mom, Charlotte, yesterday evening. And Linda, her sister who drives a school bus, was talking about one of her kids, students, who said, they were talking about their parents, and they said, "My parents are not totally married." And she's like, "Well, what do you mean not totally?" She said, the child, not knowing any better, said, "Well, they're not really officially married. They're not really united in marriage." So is that a new thing that's happening that we're going to become tolerant of as a society, that your parents are just not totally married, not fitly joined together as the Bible talks about? It can be, can't it? If somebody don't take a stand on what God says, if somebody don't stand up for what God says about the marriage union. And again, look at that blessed metaphor in verse 1 where we read, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened." You can't get far enough down in the sin, the muck, and the mire that God cannot reach down and pull you up out of that. That's the point I want to make about that. You can't get deep enough in sin that God's hand is shortened or slack to where it cannot pull you up out of that. You need to know that. I need to know that. And we all need to be reminded of that. Because sometimes people are on the Christian walk and they're doing good and they stumble and fall and they mess up a little bit. And rather than thinking that God can pull them back, they now think that they're of no use to God, and they just keep going further and further away from God. It's something to think about. It's something for us to be reminded of and to be encouraged about. God's hands are saving hands, and He wants what is best for us. If you're here this morning and you've never made the decision to become a child of God, we're going to give you the opportunity to do that. Just kind of keep this in mind, that God's hands are helping hands, are strong hands. There are hands to be fearful of in reverence and respect and fearful of. If you don't submit to His will in another way of torment or punishment after this life is over, and His hand saves and protects us as we go through this old sinful world. Never ever forget that if you're a Christian, you're in God's hands. And just like our daughter, Mandy, was in that Dr. Elmergar's hands that Saturday night so long ago. And we knew that she was in good hands. You're in good hands when you're in God's hands. We knew also that she was in God's hands because we were praying to God. And that all worked out. And it all came out to the good. And we were so thankful for that. No matter how bad this world gets, no matter how bad things are in other countries, no matter how bad the threat of what might come to this country, we are in God's hands. Don't forget it. If you're here and you've never made a decision to become a child of God and you're not in His hands, we're going to give you an opportunity again to do that. It's a simple plan of salvation. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. John 3:16 said, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have life everlasting. Luke 13:3, Jesus taught there that if you don't repent, you're going to perish. That's that simple. Romans 10:9 says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Acts 2:36-47 there, when Peter preached, there were those that asked the question, what must we do to be saved? He said, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Down in about verse 47, said the Lord added to the church daily those that would be saved. Whenever you accept the plan of salvation, Jesus Christ adds you to His church, to His kingdom here upon earth, and you have all the blessings that come from being a child of His. You have the blessings of your brothers and sisters in Christ to encourage you and to lift you up and to help hold you up as we go down through this life together. Revelations 2:10 says, remaineth thou faithful unto death, and thou shalt receive a crown of life. If you're here this morning, you're subject to heaven's invitation. Anyway, we ask you to come as together we stand and as we sing.